We are looking today at the Parsha of Vayikra, and I would like to delve into that particular word, Vayikra, by expanding upon an insight that Rashi provides for us in his commentary. We will see, by looking at this comment, the thought that can be conveyed even in one word of the Torah, and indeed, even in one letter. Rashi teaches that when Hashem wanted to deliver a message to Moshe Rabbeinu, we are told, Vayikra el Moshe, and he called to Moshe. But when Hashem wanted to convey a message to Bilam, the evil prophet, we are told, Vayikar el Bilam, and he happened upon Bilam. That is to say that the difference between Vayikra and Vayikar is the following. Vayikra implies a purposeful, directed message. Vayikar implies a chance, accidental, happenstance encounter. The Aleph Zira, the small Aleph, instead of the normal sized Aleph, is written at the end of Vayikra to make that difference something about which one takes notice, so that it can almost be read both ways, Vayikar, Vayikra. And it's dependent upon the one who sees that word to decide how to read it. Because it seems to me that what we have in the distinction that is made with this Aleph between these two words is actually a distinction between two philosophies of life. The first philosophy, Vayikar, believes everything in life to be a chance happening. I went to this school by chance. I just happened to meet my spouse at this gathering one evening. This individual just happened to have a profound influence upon my life. My life and its surroundings are all just a matter of the way things happen to turn out, with no real purpose behind them. That is the Vayikar philosophy. Then there is the Vayikra philosophy. This view believes everything to be a part of a divine plan, even if that plan is not currently recognizable, and of course that's what makes this so difficult. This view sees events and encounters that I may have and where I find myself in my life as directed from above in an effort to guide me to the place I need to be. The difference between the two of Vayikar and Vayikra, as they are spelled with that small Aleph, is in fact the essential difference between them. Both are actually spelled Vayikar at the outset, as in a chance setting. But when we read Vayikra and add that Aleph to its spelling, it's not just by chance that it's an Aleph that is added. That Aleph symbolizes one, the Holy One, the Echad. When he is invited into a situation, when he is welcomed and permission is granted to him to guide you, it is then that the chance experience can be found to be a journey that is being profoundly influenced from a source that seeks to teach you one of life's crucial lessons. Why this distinction is made at the outset of this book in Chumash is not spelled out. I would suggest one of two reasons. First, because this book talks about many of the most detailed aspects of the service of God, the korbanot, the sacrifices, wherein it seems especially by these halachas that the fact that you throw some blood to the right and some to the left, or give this part of the animal to the Kohen and this part to someone else, it seems, and many have seen it this way, as arbitrary. In fact, we know that of all the mitzvot and all of the laws in the Torah, perhaps it is those of the Korbanot that have become throughout our history the most mocked and the most ridiculed, because after all, we know that they also were practiced by the ancient primitive idolatrous nations, and consequently one could tend to see them as absolutely worthless and insignificant. We know, of course, the Ramban, among others, and many, many of the Mefarshim, Rav Shimshofel Hirsch comes to mind, give deep meaning to every aspect of the Korbanos. Even the Rambam, who we know believes that the Korbanos were just an intermediary step in the evolutionary spiritual journey of the Jewish people, as he puts down in the Mor Nevuchim. Even the Rambam, however, this is not to say that he did not believe, and in fact he says so in various places, that when the Korbanot were given for utilization in Jewish ritual, that they had also much meaning to all of their aspects. So it seems that because these particular halachas were always seen within the reference of, by many, Vayikar, they are just chance, unmeaningful, irrelevant halachas and acts, that therefore Vayikra, the fact that they are guided by Hashem, that this distinction should be made in this particular book of Chumash. Another suggestion, also related to the idea of sacrifice, think of an animal, just any animal, being chosen, walking toward the slaughter, and being killed. Again, it seems that this was such a chance occurrence. Could it actually have been driven, directed by God, and not arbitrary, but in fact laden with meaning? The meaning that this animal now plays a critical role in the cosmos, in achieving atonement for an individual, or at times even for all of Klal Yisrael. That's where, again, Vayikar can become, if seen correctly, Vayikra. If we apply this to the life of a human being, are we not all, to some degree, that animal, not knowing what is coming next? That animal who is walking along and enjoying life until he is suddenly gathered up and brought to the slaughter, as we are enjoying life until we may be hit with the loss of a job, illness, death, the tearing up of a relationship. Does this have no meaning at all? Or, like the animal which did not know that it was actually part of a drama that would invoke atonement, could it be that we too do not understand what our role is and why we must go through what we do, but that there is a deeper purpose of which we are unaware? It all depends if you view things from the perspective of Vayikar or Vayikra. I would now like to give this some very focused, practical application. It is no secret in my community that this year, specifically 2011, at the beginning of the year, my family and I have been going through difficult times with our congregation. There is a vote now taking place about what my future should be here after I've been here for 23 years. And yet, 2 weeks ago or so, I received a call from a woman who, after expressing to me how bad she felt about my situation, she was even crying about it, She then said she wanted to tell me something that she had not told even her closest friends. She had just been told that she has a terminal illness, a terminal cancer, and that she has less than a year to live. We spoke for a while about her circumstances, and then I immediately said a Misha Berach for her on the spot. And we know that when you are in the presence of the person, because God knows who that person is, and because the Shekhinah is with such a person, the Gemara says, that you don't even have to say the person's name. But afterwards, I asked her for her name so I could say it in Misha Berach in the future. And she told me her name was Yasala. I told her gently that Yasala was a nickname for Yosef, like Yasala Rosenblatt, the famous Chazan. And that I would use the name instead and now give her the name Yosefa when I pray for her. I told her that the name Yosefa, which she said she never had used, means to add on. And that God willing, Hashem will add on years to your life. Oh, Rabbi, she said to me, that is so beautiful. She told me that she did not want this known and I should not put her name on the Shul Misha Berach list, but just pray for her privately on my own. But I have put her name on without explaining in English who this person is, just the Hebrew name is there, so we may all pray for her. And I further told her that aside from praying for her, I would also take on extraordinary measures of devotion to Hashem on my own, in my own promise to Him that I will do everything I can to help this woman. I took this encounter, which I could have seen as Vayikar, as a chance encounter, but which I sought to see as Vayikra, as an occurrence that was directed to me from Hashem in a very meaningful way. No matter the suffering my family and I have gone through recently, and it has been quite horrible, it surely does not compare to what Yosefa will have to go through in the remainder of her life. Whatever journey God has taken me upon at this time in my life, it is clearly not so terrible when cast next to that of Yosefa. So having learned this and been taught this, I ask that you pray for Rafua Shlema for Yosefa Bat Chava. And I just want to say that whatever my current crisis is, it pales next to hers. And that I would even give up my ability to retain this position in my Kehillah after 23 years if it would give Yosefa a Rafua Shlema and years of life in the future. It is Vayikra instead of Vayikar that can give someone like me, or can give anyone, that type of perspective. As we have two Adars this year, and we are soon to read the Megillah this year, soon after the Parsha Vayikra, let us recall that this same message is the major theme of that holy work. As we know, there was some controversy about that work and whether it should be included in the biblical canon. And this was the case with several works in Tanakh which are theologically challenging to the average reader. One can imagine, if one would choose one book of such a nature, perhaps that one would choose the book of Eov, with its description of a righteous man experiencing terrible suffering, apparently without cause, and perhaps raising the entire spectrum of the idea that those who are evil prosper and those who are righteous seem to suffer. But specifically, the Mishnah in Masechet Yadayim, Gimel Hay, discusses the Megillot of Shir HaShirim and Kohelet. The first Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, seemingly poetry written between two lovers, which appears to lack holiness. The second, Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, a philosophical reflection upon the value of life, which begins, Havel Havalima Kol Havel, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, indicating the utter worthlessness, it would seem, of the endeavor that we call life. The Mishnah concludes that Shir HaShirim is in fact the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKodashim, as that love poetry in fact describes the love of the Ribono Shel Olam and the Jewish people. And Kohelet, which may begin on a pessimistic note in its view of life, ends up, if one makes it through the work, with a statement which identifies the only way that one can give meaning to the seeming absurdities in this world, in the fear of God, and by keeping His commandments. Megillat Esther, it has its own problem. Among other issues, God's name is not even found in the text. How can a work be given a status of holiness if it lacks the essential feature to characterize any work as such, the presence of the Holy One, blessed be He? One could simply argue, and it has been argued by secular scholars, that this work is simply a secular tale with two heroes saving the Jewish people, and God purposely left out to emphasize the role of activism and human intervention to the exclusion of God's role in salvation. And yet it is our belief that while one could evaluate the narrative from the perspective of Vayikar as chance events and a fortunate outcome for the Jewish people, that our tradition chose to view it from the perspective of Vayikra, as God's involvement, His directing the events through hiddenness. This is evident throughout the story, guiding our leaders and being the only one who could have reversed the scenario, Benafochu, from one of destruction to redemption. May we always maintain such a perspective as well. In choosing the view of Vayikra instead of the view of Vayikar, as choosing to view God as present and active in our life's challenges, and thereby to learn the vital lessons that He wishes to teach us, both as individuals and as a nation.